The Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra opens its season on Saturday with a program called Tango. And once again, the maestra of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, Ann Harrigan, is joining me in the studio, and we'll go over some of the fabulous pieces on the program. Good to see you again, Ann.
Good morning. It's great to be here starting up the season.
So you are in a dance-like frame of mind, a mood for dance?
I am in a mood for dance, and we're going to heat things up at WKKLG Auditorium. We need to. It's going to be a fantastic evening this coming Saturday. All music inspired by different types of dance, tango, but also other mediums as well. So we'll be talking about that.
Oh, great. I can see the need for it when the weather starts to get darker and we get lots of rain. That wonderful feeling of freedom and passion and soul coming from countries a bit further, closer to the equator.
Yes, and sunshine.
Can be quite refreshing up here. So, did you, when you set out to make this program, did you start with a single idea or a single performer? What were you thinking?
I did. I started out with the idea of wanting to bring a bandoneon to Battle Creek.
Say that word again. What?
Bandoneon.
Bandoneon.
And Kara, you need to come see this instrument yourself, because I know you're an accomplished button accordion player.
I'm getting there.
You are there.
But yeah, they're not all the same. That's certainly true.
And the bandoneon is something that looks like an accordion. It is completely different. It is the traditional instrument for the tango, and when you hear the tango, you'll hear it.
So it's a reed instrument with bellows in a box.
Yes, huge. Huge bellows. They can go out into the span, your entire arm span.
Did you have a bandoneon player in your Rolodex? I mean, how did you find
it? Actually, I had several. I had several, but Hector del Curto is a fourth generation bandoneonist from Argentina, which, of course, is where tango originated. And he's a specialist in the history of tango. Actually, he will be traveling with me to the schools all around the community in Battle Creek this week. He's arriving from Japan today.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
Izzy Guy. So we're very happy that he's joining us. And this is how it started. And so we actually started collaborating, I think, about 4 years ago, putting this program together.
So is that when you met Hector del Curto?
Yes.
You've heard him play and collaborated before?
I have heard him play. I've performed with him in Billings, Montana. Uh-huh. I've met with him when he was teaching, I think at Hope College he was teaching something. So we had a chance to get together when we started working on this. And he has brought his own dancers with him.
Oh, so not only the traditional instrument of the tango, but we'll see the dance as well.
Oh, yes. We will have two fabulous tango dancers, Ana Padrón, Andres Bravo, who will be coming in. They are world-renowned tango dancers and captivating, absolutely captivating.
So as professionals, your bandoneonist and the dancers, is this what they do? They go to communities, sometimes play with an orchestra, sometimes go to schools?
This is what they do when they're not performing
or plus
internationally.
Competitions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're globetrotters.
Yes, they are. And Hector actually runs a tango festival in Stowe, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
where he teaches tango, performs with orchestras, does lectures. I don't know what this is about. Maybe we should listen to some music and I'll drink some of your tea.
Yes, I'm sorry. I've got a nice hot pot of Earl Grey for us right now. So let's listen to what I have here is actually Astor Piazzolla, who is a composer we've talked about before. The man who invented Nuevo Tango.
Yeah. Yes.
He went to Europe to study and came back with the determination to revive the tango from its traditional forms to something a little different. And he himself was a bandoneonist. Let's hear him play. Thank you. Faded out of that little clip as I take responsibility for the strange version of Liber Tango we were just getting into, some sort of 1977 psychedelic version of Liber Tango. But my guest here, Anne Harrigan, will be conducting a more conventional version with bandoneonist Hector del Curto.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Sorry about that. That's what I get for losing my voice. Kara was trying to help me out here for a second.
We're trying to find Astor Piazzolla himself, who, again, if we wanted to talk about him, we could take the whole hour. He's just a marvelous personality. And died in about 1992, I think, even a bit before he might have realized all of the popularity that sort of grew in the 90s and continued to grow in the 2000s. A lot of concerts featuring his music, often toward the end as the sort of encore or special piece. But you're putting Piazzolla front and center.
Well, we're covering the traditional and Tango Nuevo, and I did find that link to send you if we can actually play the right Liber Tango. But what's interesting about tango is, like many of the pieces on our program, they're tied into regional, historical, cultural influences. Imagine at the time of these dances, there was no internet, no cell phones, no cars. And so regional cultural influences were just that, regional. We talk about that sometimes with Irish music. The band that had the most influence was the band that had a car instead of a bicycle. Tulip Cayley Band, right?
Oh, goodness.
So, but in this case, the tango originated because there were many people who emigrated to Argentina from Europe looking for work. Many of them were men, and they were alone, and they were lonely, and they were hoping to make some friends or find wives. And to entertain each other, they would learn to dance. And they would dance, and if it was something that if you didn't dance well, you didn't get a date. So they were living in tenement houses, and they practiced with each other. And they would practice. That's what they would do in their off hours when they were working. They were all by themselves. So they would practice dancing, and because it was the way that you would get a woman's attention. And in some cases, it was a way that you could get a woman's attention in a house of ill repute. I've seen that you had to dance three dances before you would be selected for entertainment.
So that
having to audition.
Yeah, the difficulty and the expertise got extremely high.
Yes, it did. It was very competitive. And so this was the entertainment for the workers. Then over time, the tango was taken up, actually when it went back to Europe, and was picked up by the French right about the time of the Ballet Russe, you know, which is interesting because, of course, that's where the three-cornered hat comes from, turn of the century, and it all of a sudden was adopted by the upper class. And it became something that was very elegant and, you know, danced by extremely wealthy people. And along comes Piazzolla, who is interesting. He was the classic story of an immigrant. His family emigrated from Argentina to Brooklyn, I believe. His father wanted him to play the bandoneon. Uh-huh. He wanted to be a classical musician. He wanted to be an American. I'm an American. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard that? I hear that from my nephew.
Yeah, he's hearing Bernstein and Copland on the radio all the time, you know.
Yes,
wants
yes.
to join their ranks.
So he learned to play Bach on the bandoneon. And he had a next-door neighbor who played piano. Eventually, he became pretty proficient, but he had to make a living. So he continued with the bandoneon, and he played at tango dance halls. Then he went to Europe, and he wanted to study with the famed Nadia Boulanger. And he was playing tango in dance halls to make a living. This is what you do when you're a young musician and you need to eat. Either that or be a waiter. And I can tell you personally that I was a terrible waitress, so I learned to play in church choirs. Anyways, back to Astor Piazzolla. He went to Nadia Boulanger, the most famous composition teacher of all time, probably.
Yeah.
And he talked to her, and she said, play for me. and what do you want to do? And she says, why would you want to study with me when you have what you have? Which is essentially what she said to Gershwin also. And he says, this is you. Find this. So he took the dance element. And if you look at all the pieces, we can kind of talk about all the pieces that are tied to dance. And he took the tango music out of the dance initially and created Tango Nuevo, which was tango music that was just the music and kind of pushed the boundaries of what tango music sounded like.
Yeah, like more for concerts than for taverns, wherever they, what are the dance places?
Yeah. I mean, but it's a classic story, isn't it? Of, you know, a young immigrant who comes in, he wants to abandon his culture. Eventually, he embraces his culture and he transforms it. Now, let me tell you that initially, the Argentinians were not impressed.
No, because he couldn't dance to it right away.
It was different. Now, of course, you know, he's their favorite son. There's Piazzolla Square. There's Piazzolla this, Piazzolla that. But at the time, it was kind of tough for him. He was more revered in Europe and in the United States. Mm-hmm. And in time, he was adored, absolutely adored by his homeland. But it's such a great statement during this month, which is Hispanic Latino Heritage Month, September 15th through October 15th, I believe, of the contributions, you know, of people who have come to our country and have brought their culture in and have really changed the world. So
the concert is Saturday, October 5th, 7:30 p.m. at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in Battle Creek, and it's called Tango. You can find all that information and tickets as well on the website, the Battle Creek Symphony website, and you can also call the box office.
Yes, 269-963-1911.
I have a favor to ask because I have something queued up that is a very straightforward tango, famous, called Por Una Cabeza.
Yes.
This was used in the Al Pacino movie.
It was The Scent of a Woman.
Mm-hmm. This setting is quite small, a trio of accordion, piano, violin.
Perfect.
But what we can hear is the typical structure.
Yes.
ABA.
Yes, so we'll be doing, starting out our program with some of these traditional tangos, El Choclo, which is probably the most famous, La Comparsita, and this one is Por Una Cabeza, which is, I think Carlos Gardel is a famous tango singer who sang it, and it talks about, it means by a nose, and it's referenced by a head. And mm-hmm. by a head, a cabeza is a head. But it's, you know, with the horse race, you know, winning by a nose, as we say, by a head. But it has to do with love. And he lost his love to another by a head.
Mm. Let's listen to this, and we'll be back with Ann Harrigan of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. As might have been heard in an Argentine club, that was Por Una Cabeza, which is a Carlos Gardel tune that Ann Harrigan mentioned and will be featured with dancers perhaps on Saturday.
Oh, yes. We will have Ana And Andrés, Ana Padrón, and Andrés Bravo, they will be dancing five different tangos. They will be dancing the traditional tangos and also the tango nuevo, all but two of them. So they will be dancing some of the Piazzolla as well. And their version of Oblivion is just gorgeous. They make a story out of it. You know, they're such virtuosic dancers. But it's interesting, as I've been studying, you know, with my limited understanding of the dance, because every piece that we're doing represents dance in different ways, I've been watching the tango and how much line is a part of the tango and how much storytelling. And if you watch them, you'll see there's a contrast between the long lines of the body, and if you can imagine the long angles, you know, they analyze everything, the angle of the neck, the angle of the hands, and it's contrasted with these very quick movements. If you sort of look at that bottom, bum, bum, where they'll switch movements, and the footwork is called fills, you know, that very fancy footwork. But it's the three things in combination. So long lines, very specific attitudes, almost like ballet. And then there's the fast footwork that you think of, and then there's these quick changes. So what happens when you put that in with the orchestra, you have the bandoneon, which we have to talk about for a second because it's such an amazing instrument. Anybody who has never seen a bandoneon in person has to come. They have to. It's just like the own pipes, you know.
You owe it to yourself to see.
Yeah, you owe it to yourself to come and see it. And Hector will talk about it. It's actually a German instrument. Remember that everybody, almost everybody who was in the factories in Argentina came from Europe. So they brought these instruments with them, but they had no money. And so these instruments, they kind of cobbled together these instruments. And as they put them together, they added buttons, but they couldn't do it in sequence. If you can imagine, so unlike a piano where you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I don't know what it's like on a button accordion. Is it like that?
It's push, pull, push, pull, push,
okay.
Pull, pull, push. It's two pitches assigned to one button.
Okay, got it, right. Yeah. And that's like that with the bandoneon, but it's not A, B, C, D. It's not A, B, C, D. It's random. It's completely random, and you have to memorize it. And if you look at a picture of it, if you look on our website on battlecreeksymphony.org and click on the tango concert, you'll see a picture of Hector and a great little video, too. And you can see you have to memorize where all those pitches go on the button. But with the bandoneon has that long sweep, but it also has very short, you know, punctuation. And so the strings have that long, lush sound. And so we have that contrast between the two written into the music as well. But I'd actually like to skip a little bit and talk about some of the other dances we're doing.
Okay.
We're doing a danson, which is actually Cuban and Mexican. In this case, it was inspired, the composer was inspired because he saw something in Veracruz in a very specific small town, Malambo, which is another famous Argentinian dance. Fandango, which is a flamenco-style dance. So we're covering some different bases, but let's talk about the malambo, because that's another Argentinian dance, which is actually quite famous. It originates in the back of a little river in the middle of Argentina, and it was a dance of the gauchos.
Cowboys?
The cowboys. Yes, right.
Okay.
The cowboys, and they would compete. Again, this was a show of their strength. It's an all-male dance, and it has to do with strength, usually either heavy boots or socks. And again, there's some interesting articles and about these competitions, and people train for decades to win these competitions. There's an annual international, well, I guess it's not international, it's a national competition, and once you win it, you can never compete again.
That sort of seals your first prize in a way, you know.
It does.
For whatever year
yes,
it was.
Yes, your first prize for life, that's right. And it's a fascinating dance because it has that alternation that you hear a lot of times in Spanish music of the 3-4 and the 6-8. If you think about Leonard Bernstein's America, da-da-da-dee-da-bum-bum-bum, you know. And this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-bum-bum-bum-ba-da-da-da-da-da-dum-bum-bum. And so Ginastera, an Argentinian classical composer, wrote a piece called Estancia, I guess. And he ended with this famous malambo, which has become well-known because of the Venezuelan Youth Orchestra and Dudamel. He's made it famous, I think.
I think it went viral when the Simón Bolívar Youth Orchestra, they went on tour and took it to all these European halls, and they would always play it by memory, right?
Yes.
And they would
spin around
the basses, and yeah.
Yes, yes. Very it's amazing, fun. Actually. I've listened to quite a few performances, and despite the fact they are very young, some of them are older than high school, but I think it's the best live performance out there, and there's some other very qualified orchestras on there, so they've done a nice job with it. But it's a fun piece.
Well, before Dudamel came along, Eduardo Mata recorded it with the Simón Bolívar Symphony Orchestra of Venezuela. So let's hear the Malambo from Estancia, and remind listeners that Ann Harrigan will conduct the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra's Tango Concert Saturday at 7:30 at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. Kind of a breathless piece of work, the Malambo from Estancia, which is a ballet by Alberto Ginastera, and my guest Ann Harrigan is the conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, and their program includes that fiery piece on Saturday, plus lots of dance pieces. They're all dance pieces, as you said, Anne. And you'll be seeing, if you're at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium, you will see two professional, top-level, globally known tango dancers, as well as the bandoneonist Héctor Del Corto in this concert.
Yes, it's a concert that we're excited about presenting, everything from Falla, Three-Cornered Hat, which was created for the famous Ballet Russe in Paris. It was used by them, wonderful choreography that's been recreated by the Paris Opera Ballet. Fun story. It's sort of the Marriage of Figaro in Spanish style, you know, making fun of the magistrate who's making eyes at the young woman and, you know, tricking him and things like that. And it's very humorous, clever, great writing in which De Falla will use instruments like the flute and the bassoon to create characters. And that I love that piece. I've conducted it many times, and I'm never sick of it because of the variety, the different sounds. And so interesting because in the De Falla, for example, it's an Andalusian dance. It's the fandango. It's flamenco music. And so you've got your castanets. You've got very rhythmic things. You've got things where the rhythm changes slightly to fit to the dance. But you've also got this very smooth sound. And now some of you may know that there are regions of Spain which speak in what sounds like a lisp to us.
Yeah. As a radio announcer, I struggle with that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I have an executive director in Billings, and his name is Ignacio. And I can actually say that now without being self-conscious. And he comes from Zaragoza in Spain, which is Zaragoza or Zaragoza, depending on where you're from. So, and this is the area that the flamenco, that De Falla, or Falla, I think it actually is, he listened to this music, and he used this tradition of music. You can hear it in the writing. You can hear the language in the writing of the composer so many times. And so that's very different, that very soft, smooth sound. And then you can hear it transport over to Argentina, and then adding these more rhythmic aspects, you know, with the piano, the bandoneon, the guitar, the pizzicato. So it's kind of moving that way. And then you can hear the Mexican influences. That language is different, right? They're much more percussive. You heard it. And when we have one of my favorites is the Marquez, Mexican composer, Arturo Marquez, Danzón number 2. I thought Danzón was just dance, not knowing Spanish very well. It's a very specific dance.
Kind of dance, yeah.
Very specific region of Mexico. And what's interesting is, unlike, say, the Malambo, which has all these contests, what's famous about it is that, period, there's a festival in which people just go out in the streets and dance. They dress in all white. And unlike the tango, in which your torso is all long lines, there's kind of like a lot of very subtle hip motion in this. And it's a lot of older couples. And it's just really fun to see everybody out doing it. And it's kind of like dance for anybody or anybody.
That's great.
You know what I mean? It's very different than what you think of with Malambo, for example, in which you've got to be pretty proficient to even try that. Or the tango, which was a competition to get a date. So
at the concert on Saturday, you will be sometimes breaking up between pieces to talk about.
Yes, I will.
Kind of dance and giving the audience a little context, a little picture before the pieces.
Yes, I have this idea in my mind to get pictures up on the screen, but I'm also going to 6 schools this week.
I did want to kind of ask more about that mission. The Battle Creek Symphony is part of Music Center of Battle Creek, a larger organization that has a mission to look out for the younger people in the Battle Creek region and see if they can't be given some opportunities to play music, do art, lots of different kinds of activities.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the Battle Creek Symphony is part of the Music Center of South Central Michigan. We have a music school. And we have a children's choir, 2 children's choirs actually, that are free to the public. We have a boy choir, girls chorus, and a gospel choir. All of them are free. We also have music lessons starting from babies, mm-hmm. All the way through adults. We have the Battle Creek Community Chorus. But we do have a huge mission to get out into the schools. Last year we did 75 outreaches, which is
That's a lot
for a small budget orchestra. And one of the things we really focus on is equity, diversity, and inclusion. And so part of this is telling the story of another culture and celebrating the work of Argentinians, and also talking to kids so they understand the diversity of Latin America.
Yeah.
Because at that age, that's when you start understanding that, because at elementary school, you already start making these decisions. I like this person. There's a kind of a sameness attraction we talk about, with something that's called implicit bias. We're naturally attracted to people who we think are like us.
Yeah.
And we're challenging people to expand their horizons, intentionally make friends with people who aren't like you. Learn a different perspective. It will make for a better society and make you a more diverse person in terms of your thinking, diversity of thought. And so we are going into Harper Creek schools, Lakeview schools. We will be working with the Arts Center of Battle Creek, doing a demonstration on Friday at 6:00, and that's a free event. And we're going to Penfield Schools to talk to the middle school kids. So we don't hit people over the head on it, but it's something that does need to be talked about, especially sometimes when there is fear, of other people. And so it's important to present positive images of culturally diverse groups to our students so that they have that information available to them as well.
Music has often served throughout the history of humanity as a mixing point for cultures and viewpoints. And when you hear a good groove, it's hard to resist it, no matter where it's coming from.
That's so true.
And Hector will be along for some of this
Hector,
outreach.
Anna, and Andres will be at all of them.
The dancers as well.
Yes, yes. This is funded by, this is a Challenge America grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
And the final concert, the celebration, would be Saturday at 7:30 in WK Kellogg Auditorium.
Yes.
I have a tango from Piazzolla queued up now with a bandoneonist. It's not Mr. Corto here, but we could hear a little bit of Adios Nonino.
Yes, so this is an interest. This is a different story. We should talk about it. It's a little edgier, so you can hear. We heard, you know, Por una cabeza with that smoothness. And this is something where you can see where he's really pushing the envelope of the tango. And this Adios Nonino is Goodbye Grandmother. So he wrote this in honor of his grandmother and expressing his sadness at her passing, but also love and sentimentality for the memories that they had together.
Music of Astor Piazzolla. If you just tuned in, we heard Adios Nonino, and the piece is on the program Saturday at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. My guest, Anne Harrigan, will conduct a program of dance music from Latin America, Argentina. This piece by Piazzolla will be a major component of the program, and featuring a bandoneonist Hector del Corto, who is a worldwide known soloist of this instrument, which is a difficult instrument to learn, as you said. The way it's laid out for the fingers is not completely obvious or intuitive.
It is not. It requires an extreme amount of virtuosity. And there are very few bandoneonists in the world, I think, that are playing at that level. In fact, he's flying in from Japan today to come rehearse with us and work with the kids tomorrow. So I am so excited for this concert on Saturday because it's very refreshing music, visually very appealing, and also a great celebration of National Hispanic Latino Month.
Full details and ticket prices are available online at battlecreeksymphony.org. It's part of the Music Centers of South Central Michigan, which you talked about a little bit, about all the activity that goes into that. And your soloists and dancers will be visiting hundreds of school kids.
Yes, we will. Over 1,000.
Amazing. And the final concert is Saturday at 7:30 p.m. There's usually a chance to get to know the soloists a little before the concert as well.
Yes, yes. We'll have our we call it the backstage pass, our pre-concert talk at 6:40 p.m. So I'll come in and meet Hector there. And then the concert's at 7:30, as you said, at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium right there in downtown Battle Creek.
I thought, since we have a minute or two, you might want to talk about there's a fundraising event coming up or the rest of the season as well. There's some Christmas things to talk about in November.
Yes, yes. I twist my arm, Kara. So we have our annual fundraising, our gala coming up, and that is on October 23rd at the Battle Creek Country Club. Always a great time, a fun time to get together. And shortly after that, on November 9th, we have Battle Creek's favorite son, the legendary Doug LeBrecq, performing with us. He's taking time out of his schedule. We don't get to have him with us very often. He's performing all over the world. This summer, he was at Grant Park, Millennium Park, down there with the Chicago Symphony, and he is an amazing voice, great programming. We're going to have students from Western Michigan University, as well as the pianist Kevin Cole joining us. That is going to be an extravaganza, to say the least, and that is on November 9th. Then on coming up in December, on December 14th, we have A Gospel Christmas with Freddie Washington Jr., as well as several local soloists. And this program has music that will have been arranged by the famous Duane Davis from Grand Rapids, the Symphony with Soul. It was actually inspired by that concert. So he's assisting, and he's going to be arranging many of the compositions. So we've got a busy season ahead. Then in February, on Leap Year Day, February 29th, we have the Planets.
Ooh.
And finishing out the season with the Gilmore Concert, Brahms Symphony No. 2, and Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 3.
Oh, goodness. That's a terrific season. Details at battlecreeksymphony.org. Let's end with another dance. And you mentioned the danzón from Mexico.
Yes.
Arturo
Marquez.
Marquez, the composer here. We'll let this take us to news at 11 o'clock. And thank you for joining me once again.
Thank you, Kara. It's such a pleasure.
It is. BattleCreekSymphony.org for full details.